And if it does happen, Richard Middleton, with these surface-to-air missiles that could bring down perhaps some of the air power of Assad, were it to happen, do you think that'll be followed by a U.S. military invention, such as a no-fly zone?
Well, I mean, America doesn't seem to have the stomach to intervene. We've seen British Parliament rejected intervention. Obama rejected intervention. Russia stole the leadership with this idea of exporting chemical weapons.
You mean averting war was a theft? Averting a war was a theft by Russia? That's interesting.
Well, Assad has got no popular mandate. He's never been properly elected. We've seen Syria is split into three sections. You've got the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Alawites. And America is not directly supporting the rebels. The idea that America is supporting the rebels is ridiculous, because the whole debate in the West is, who do you support?
They acknowledge that they're supporting them. They have the training camps are in Jordan. The training camps are in Jordan. The CIA is training up to 1,000 fighters a month. And that's what's going on. And this is all public knowledge in the United States that this has been going on, and the CIA is coordinating it through Jordan. Why are you pretending what they themselves acknowledge, that they're deeply involved, they're neck deep in terms of organizing the armed opposition to the Assad government?
But they're not. I mean, Saudi Arabia is involved in arming. It's not
No,
America.
It's the CIA.
America. And the whole point is they don't know who to arm.
They acknowledge that they have the camps in Jordan.
If the arms fall into the wrong hands with Al-Qaeda, this is a whole problem. They are worried about the blowback, about who could get the weapons. The wrong people could get the weapons, especially ISIS. Now, Al-Nusra Front actually has got some sort of popular support, because it is actually less radical than ISIS, and it is successfully fighting against Assad. Now, the plan is, let's say Assad is taken out of the picture, there can be some sort of popular government to put together in Syria, and then the forces can join together to fight ISIS and to restore some sort of calm to Syria. And that is really the best way forward, is for Assad to go and then to fight the real terrorists, Al-Qaeda.
In that order, Richard Millett?
Yes, and I think that... I think that's what Susan Rice's plan actually is.
Go ahead, Richard Becker. Brian Becker, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that what Susan Rice is signaling, I agree on this much. The United States is trying to isolate some of the Al-Qaeda forces and the Al-Nusra Front. They're trying to bolster and strengthen the other wings of the armed opposition. Having learned the lesson of Iraq when they fecklessly overthrew the entire Iraqi state and dismembered the Ba'athist army and allowed the country to fall into turmoil, I think that the plan now is to put more and more pressure on the Syrian government with the pro-Western so-called opposition, and to also hope for a coup d'etat within the Ba'athist government that would eliminate Assad and the Assad family, and then that there would be a national coalition government. This is the West plan, a national coalition government that would be fundamentally aligned with the West, as opposed to the current Syrian government, which has been independent, supported resistance forces in Lebanon, and has a strategic alliance with Iran regionally. I think the U.S. doesn't care that much about who's in power in Syria, as long as it's loyal to the West and particularly functions more or less as a client or as a dependency on the United States. And I think that's Israel's plan as well.
Well, can you please tell me, Brian Becker, a lot of ifs there and buts, if it's going to work. What if it doesn't? What's next then?
Yeah, the tragedy is twofold. One is, the United States does not have the right to decide what governments live and what governments die. The United States functions as an empire, and we, the people of the United States, have mobilized and are mobilizing to demand that the United States stay out of Syria's internal affairs. Secondly, the Syrian government is open to a transitional or negotiated settlement, as they have signaled in Geneva. But they are saying, and I think it's completely reasonable, that before the talks begin, as a precondition, in other words, the demand that Assad go is untenable to them. So the Syrian government is looking for a negotiated settlement. They're also refusing to bend or genuflect before the armed struggle that's been sponsored by Western powers demanding that Assad leave. And they're saying the Syrian government or the Syrian people and they alone should be the determiners of Syria's destiny. That's a reasonable program.
Well, Richard Millett, this appointment of the Syrian Faal to Prince Nayef, it sounds like a pretty big deal, putting aside Bandar and his failed policies. And there's the different facets to it, but one of the particular interesting points coming out of that is that Saudi Arabia, through Nayef, is saying that, you know, we're going to reach out. We're going to reach out to the Iranians. We're going to reach out to Hezbollah. We're going to use diplomacy. Do you buy it?
Well, no, I don't think Saudi Arabia is going to reach out. I think, obviously, I think it's Saudi Arabia who obviously would like Syria to be a client state. I think America would like the people to choose who's going to rule Syria. I think the whole point of America and the West is the idea that the Arab Spring could take hold in. That was the idea originally before Assad shot down the protesters and let Syria have some sort of democracy. Let Syria not be pulled apart on one side by Iran, on the other side by Syria. And if Assad is still there, there will never be democracy
because Syria will never get a proper election.
I agree.
Syria has been pulled apart by a civil war. It's been pulled apart by a civil war funneled by outside powers, Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the Western powers. That's why Syria, which was a country at peace, you might not like its government, but it was at peace. It didn't have massive tens of thousands of people dead and millions made into refugees. This happened as a consequence of the U.S. government immediately agreeing with the Saudis and with the Turkish government and with the Qataris that there should be an armed uprising that should be supported against the Syrian government. That's why Syria is bleeding today.
Richard Miller, go ahead.
Well, no, it was a popular uprising at the beginning. Mr. Becker, I don't know where you get this from. You've forgotten about the Arab Spring. This all comes from the Syrian people, as we saw in Egypt, as we've seen in other parts of the Arab world. You seem to be suffering from amnesia to say this was all instigated by outside forces. This was instigated originally by the Syrian people.
Well, Syria looks like the Al-Qaeda spring to me.
Who are sick of false elections that Assad used to have with his 99% people apparently voting in his favour. Assad is not someone who's a serious
Democrat. I think if the Syrian people were asked, the masses of Syrian people were asked, what would they prefer, life 3 years ago or life today, I think 99% of the Syrian people would say, even those who hate Assad, that was much, much better than what we have today, because this civil war has been the greatest tragedy in Syria's history.
It would be even better without Assad. And it would be even better without Assad. Let the people vote. Get Assad, mass murdering Assad, who's killed 140,000.
Well, the people are not voting. They're being the people are being picked apart by civil war. And civil war was a deliberate policy of the most powerful, militarily developed nations in the world, who were the former colonizers of Syria. How can these former colonizers of Syria now say, because of our tender concern for democracy in Syria, we must go in and foment civil war? I mean, that's ludicrous.
Well, unfortunately, we're fresh out of time.
You've forgotten about the Arab Spring, Mr. Becker.
Unfortunately, we're fresh out of time for this edition of the debate. We appreciate the comments there made from Answer Coalition, Brian Becker, who spoke to us from Washington. I'd also like to thank journalist and political commentator Richard Millett, who spoke to us from London. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments or suggestions even, do send them to newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Tapway and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.